This podcast was specifically created for Distress and Crisis Ontario organizations and their volunteer responders to provide training and educational assistance on a variety of topics. As information evolves and changes, these podcasts are meant to offer ongoing support with the goal of updating them on an ongoing basis. We thank the volunteer responders and the contributors to this podcast. Please visit our website, dcontario.org, for more information and how to access free mental health services. Thank you.
Caitlin Plant, and I am the Program Manager at Distress and Crisis Ontario. Thank you for choosing to listen to our podcast. Today, I am joined by Caitlin Doyle, our Marketing and Communications Manager, and we have come together to talk about spring cleaning. Obviously, we're coming into April. Spring has come, although we've had some very cold, very gross weather the last few days, at least where I'm located. So hopefully it starts to feel a bit more like spring soon. But obviously, spring is kind of a time of refreshing and resetting our homes and kind of coming out of hibernation. And I think it kind of naturally, at least in Canada, is a time of kind of, yeah, we shake out the blankets, we get the carpets cleaned up, we put all the warm things away, and it can be a really nice time to kind of reset both our homes and our kind of mental health too, in a lot of ways, coming out of the darker seasons and into the theoretically sunnier one. And in a lot of ways, it can be really good both for our physical spaces and for our mental well-being. So today we're going to share some information that is coming from our April newsletter. We did a newsletter called Using Spring Cleaning as a Form of Self-Care. This newsletter includes information from two different articles, which we'll include in the show notes. One is a CTV article from a segment called Your Morning, and it's called Psychological Obstacles That Could Be Getting in the Way of Your Spring Cleaning. And one is from the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, and it is called Spring Cleaning for Your Mental Health. In the CTV article, it was a conversation with clinical psychologist Anna Maria Tosco, and she shared five factors that might be getting in the way of spring cleaning. So the first factor that might be maybe slowing down your spring cleaning, if not entirely stopping it, is procrastination. Tosco says that procrastination is often linked to perfectionism or the desire to, quote, do things right or do things fully, end quote. It's kind of that idea that if you can't do it the way that you know you want to do it right now, or you can't do it the best way that you know you can, or you can't do it perfectly, you're not going to do it at all. And so you keep kind of pushing the task off until you feel like you have the right time or the right moment to do it in the, quote, right way, end quote, but that right time might not come. Tosco says that spring cleaning does not have to be a huge endeavor, and even starting out small can make a huge difference. So maybe one of the spaces that gets a little bit dirtier in the wintertime in your home is your garage, and you feel like you need to clean the whole garage out and feel like you have to dedicate a whole day to doing the whole garage. That can make it really hard to start that task. But maybe if you start with just one thing at a time, maybe the first thing you do is you just sweep out the floor, and if you can, hose it down, and that's the task that you get done for the day. And then the next day you clean out a drawer or that kind of thing. If you can break it down into smaller pieces, it can make it a lot easier to tackle the overarching job. So that can help with procrastination, makes it a little bit easier to make things manageable. The second thing that Tosco spoke with CTV about is guilt, and especially how some people might feel guilty about getting rid of old items. This can happen particularly for parents when it comes to their children's old toys, or I was mentioning to Caitlin before we started this podcast, children's artwork. It's kind of always that internal battle when your child gives you something that they made for you and you feel like you have to keep it forever. But realistically, when your child gets older, they don't even remember when they need it for you. So maybe you keep like a few, I say a few, and that's pretty loose terms, but maybe you keep kind of one or two of the most sentimental or the ones that you love the most from like each age group. And that can make it a lot easier to keep things pared down. I know they sell now picture frames that you can put multiple pieces of artwork in. And that way too, you can kind of change things around as you feel like it, but they're all contained in the same spot. So that's something that you can maybe look into. Or you can take pictures, like digital pictures of the artwork, and buy a digital frame. And that's another cool way that you can still like keep memories of all the stuff that you have and not have to actually take up space with things. So Tosco says, quote, "What I've learned about guilt over the years is that it is anger turned inward. It's like I've done something wrong. I'm doing something bad. I'm being an inadequate parent or an insensitive parent," end quote. That's kind of the feelings that you can carry with you anytime you're getting rid of something that, yeah, you do have kind of good memories with. And it's just important to remember that it's just a thing. And again, especially as your kids get older, chances are they're not going to remember most of those things. And if it's a really sentimental item for them, then maybe it's something that they can hold on to and you don't have to carry that with you. Something that Tosco suggests is kind of standing up to those feelings and asking yourself if you really are doing something wrong or if you're just telling yourself that you're doing something wrong. Another factor that Tosco mentions as maybe factoring into making spring cleaning difficult is a scarcity mindset. So Tosco says that having a lot of possessions can give people the, quote, illusion of safety, end quote, especially people who've experienced abandonment or trauma or maybe houselessness, or if you grow up in a lower income home. So now that you're an adult and you have your own finances and can buy yourself things, it makes you feel more secure. Tosco says, quote, "As we are cleaning out that garage, we have to keep in mind that our old wounds and our old fears are of not being safe that might be getting in the way and that we currently are," end quote. And she means that you currently are safe. So kind of reminding yourself that I don't need to have all these things around me to know that I am in a better place, know that I am safe and secure, and that it is really okay to let things go. And to, yeah, have a tidy area. Low self-esteem is another thing that Tosco mentions may be a factor in putting off spring cleaning or finding spring cleaning difficult, because maybe people are tying their value or their feelings of worthiness to the things that they have. Something that this makes me think of is kind of the whole shopping as therapy thing, right? Like if you've had a bad day and you think, oh, I deserve a little treat, and you go out and you buy yourself something, and that's totally, totally valid. But it might mean that you're buying a lot of things that you don't actually need. And it means that you're getting kind of a cluttered space. And especially if you're bringing things in without putting things out, it can become a little bit overwhelming. And it's important to remember that your self-worth is not based on what you have or how much you have. It's something that you kind of need to look inwards for and find maybe some different ways to get those little bursts of serotonin other than buying more things. And finally, Tosco mentions clutter as a defense mechanism. So some people may be using clutter as their defense mechanism, allowing them to, quote, hide and allow for things to stay status quo, end quote. It can feel like a safety blanket and kind of get in the way of moving forward in our lives. And I mean, an extreme example of this is, of course, everybody has seen examples of houses where it would be classified as a, quote, like hoarder house, end quote, where it can be really extreme. People have a really hard time letting go of things and it can become incredibly overwhelming. And then it gets to a point where it feels like they can't deal with anything, right? Because their whole home is full of piles of things. And it just can become really overwhelming and really scary. And especially if you feel like you're going to be judged if you ask for help, you feel like you have to deal with it on your own. And it's just this vicious cycle of never really being able to get your feet back under you. So you do need to know that reaching out for help is okay. And there is absolutely somebody in your life that is willing to walk alongside you and support you in getting things kind of tidied up and put back in order a little bit. And yeah, just remembering that just because things have been the way that they have been for a long time, it doesn't mean that they need to stay that way and that it's okay to make changes and move forward. And that's absolutely scary. But as long as you're gentle with yourself and you show yourself some compassion, then it is possible to kind of take a step back and start again.
Yeah, so I think it's fairly clear. Thank you, Caitlin, for that introduction to spring cleaning. I think it's fairly clear that spring cleaning can be a really effective way in dealing with your own mental health and keeping your own mental health safe and clean. I mean, there's that whole quote about, or I guess it's more of a mindset, you know, it's a clean home, clean mind, clean room, clean mind. I remember when I was studying for university exams, if my desk was messy, I couldn't do anything. You know, it really is, having a clean and clear space is really effective in keeping your mind also clean and clear. According to the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, so CAMH, spring cleaning can be very good for your mental health. Attending to your needs and engaging in effective self-care is fundamental in having a clear and refreshed mind. Of course, we all experience difficulty in the busyness of life and we forget to take care of ourselves in the process. I mean, I've had dishes pile up in my sink, you know, you just say, oh, I'll do that in the morning, but then the morning comes and there's a million other things that get in the way of doing those dishes. But it's important that we actively listen to our mind and body and understand that taking time for oneself is not a luxury or an act of selfishness, but it is a critical element for self-growth and fulfillment. So doing those dishes, taking those 10 minutes, as like daunting as a task as that sometimes feels, it really is good for you in the long run. So there are many activities that you can do to clear and refresh your mind while you clear and refresh your physical space. So CAMH provides some examples of activities that may help you move forward to a more positive and mentally healthy life. So the first idea they give you is to create a short to-do list of short-term and long-term goals that you want to complete. So this may vary from reconnecting with an old friend you may not have seen in a while to taking more time to enjoy a cup of coffee. Think of dreams that you've already always wanted to achieve, and it doesn't matter how big or small it is. I remember one of my New Year's resolutions one year was just to do a push-up. And like that was all I wanted. And it felt really good to just complete that goal. And it may seem small to some people, but for me, that was like a very big sense of fulfillment. So having these set of goals can give you a sense of purpose in life and guide you towards a desired path. And of course, doing things that take care of yourself and doing things that you've always wanted to do will just, as a byproduct, just make you feel so much better. I think anytime you do something for yourself and truly for yourself, you feel exponentially better. Another thing that they suggest is trying to improve your physical health. So engaging in physical activity has been scientifically proven to play an important role in sustaining mental health and well-being. So with the advent of an active lifestyle, usually a healthy diet tends to follow. So if you're working out, you often want to eat better because your body feels good. You continue to want to fuel it in proper ways. That's not to say that you don't enjoy ice cream and all of those other delicious things. It is about balance. But I think once you implement an idea of a physical, healthy lifestyle, your mental and also your diet tends to follow suit. So now it's not always most effective to just throw away all the processed foods, obviously, or go shopping for expensive workout gear. We don't need to spend thousands of dollars on, you know, the right running shoes or the nice workout set or, you know, those fancy smoothie protein powders. You know, we don't need to spend all of that to be healthy. We can just start simply in our own lives and use what we have to fulfill that idea of physical health. And renewal of the mind, body, and spirit is a journey and is successful when it's practiced gradually, right? We can't just, I mean, I like to do these Nike runs and they do these lovely coaching. It's like a podcast that you can listen to. And they always say when you start your run, you want it to feel easy because you want to feel like you can continue doing this for far longer. So starting easy is always the best way to start a journey because then you feel like you can go that much farther and then you start to want to push yourself a little more and find other ways that you can continue the journey and continue it healthily. So some ideas of how to start gently would be try to walk 3 to 4 times a week, or even eating dark chocolate instead of a donut or other sugary snack, or just finding ways to balance in that donut or sugary snack, you know. It's not all about replacing everything with one thing, but it is about finding that balance. Another thing that they give is find activities that help you to renew your spirit. So for example, practicing yoga and or meditations can do wonders for cleansing your mind. Research studies on the number or the power of meditation have reported a significant reduction in the negative energy and number of thoughts consuming your day. So inwardly attending through the practice of yoga, meditation, or another spiritual practice encourages self-awareness to help you attune to your physical and emotional needs. And taking that 5 minutes for yourself is also so important, just to be with yourself, even if it's not consistently positive all the time, but it's just being with yourself and attending to those thoughts that you are having.
If you're somebody that doesn't love yoga or you find that meditation is hard, some other examples of things that you can do is journal. Mm-hmm. Or if you like gardening, spend some time in your garden for a little while. If music is something that you find helps to relax, listen to your favorite album. Like, yoga and meditation, yes, are definitely good, but there are ways that you can find that work better for yourself that will give the same results. It's just something that's going to help you, yeah, just disconnect for a little bit, right? And look inwardly and stop paying attention to everything that's going on around you. I think we all know how negative the voices from the outside world can be right now. And it's just finding that thing that helps you, yeah, step away and look inward for a little bit, which I absolutely know can be really scary. Some of you are maybe listening to this thinking, yeah, my inside thoughts aren't much better than the outside thoughts. That's a little bit scary. And that's where maybe you can put on an album that makes you feel joy, and you can just focus on, okay, I really like this happy music, and that will help you kind of build a better mood maybe for the rest of your day, or even just for 5 minutes. No matter what, that's going to be really good for you. So just to kind of throw in some other ways to think about kind of meditation and facing inward.
That's wonderful. And I think even too, like talking to friends can be another form of meditation, and you know, a trusted friend is often very healing. I mean, I love being able to speak to my friends about how I'm feeling, and I often feel 1,000 times better, even if it isn't just me. Though I think it's important to find time to journal or to meditate, whatever that is. Talking to other people about your spirit and how that's feeling is also important. The next suggestion that they give is to work on improving your stress management skills. This is, I know, very difficult for me. I run high on anxiety, so it is difficult for me to try not to dwell on issues that are out of my control. But it is, again, a journey, and learning to accept the situation for all that it is entails an important skill in reducing stress. So paying attention to what triggers your stress responses to learn and prepare for the next instance. Knowing what situations make you uncomfortable can minimize distress and encourage better coping behaviors. So if you know something is going to make you uncomfortable, maybe saying no to that activity or talking to someone about how it's making you feel, talking about those anxieties. Again, you can also journal about those anxieties, just reflecting on all of those things that are maybe making you feel that type of distress and getting to the root of possibly what that is. Of course, counselors and other mental health professionals are great resources to help you develop the skills needed to better manage your stress and anxiety. So if it does feel so overwhelming in the way where you cannot do something because of your anxiety or stress, maybe it's worth looking into seeking mental health professional help.
Another suggestion that CAMH makes is to actively contribute to your community. So this might look like volunteering for a cause or an issue that you really care about. It might look like helping out a neighbor. Maybe you've noticed that your neighbor is clearing out their garage and it looks like they could use a hand. Maybe you can offer that. Or tending to a community garden, which, like I suggested earlier, gardening can be really, really good for your mind. And if you don't have a good gardening space where you live, you can look if there's a community garden in your area. And then you're both benefiting yourself and others, and it can feel even better. Volunteering in your community can help you feel really good about yourself and your place in the world, and making an effort to improve the lives of others will also improve your life too. Another great example of how you can volunteer is maybe look into your local distress line and see if they're accepting responders, and they'll provide all of the training that you need to help you support others in your community. But we know that all the volunteers at our member centers find it really rewarding, and that's definitely something that you could look into as well. And finally, CAMH suggests, again, something that's not always the easiest, but to do your best to try to live in the here and now. When you can, take a moment to notice the sun and the wind on your face. Notice the air that you're breathing. Sometimes we're so distracted with tasks and responsibilities and all of the negative input that's coming from the outside world that we forget to appreciate life's precious moments. Something that I know I like to do when I'm feeling a little bit down, or that I suggest to friends when they're having a bad day, bad week, bad month, is to just go for a walk and find three things that make you smile or bring you a little bit of joy. And it doesn't have to be a long walk, and just be a walk around the block, and maybe you see some flowers popping up out of the ground, the first ones you've seen in spring. Maybe you see your first robin and that brings a smile to your face, or you just see a good dog, like any of these things that you might see on your walk. And it can really shift your mindset to go out and actively look for the things that make you feel better. And usually that can last a little bit farther into your day. So learn how to bring your attention into the moment using mindfulness meditation or any other kind of mental exercises that work better for you. But make a conscious effort to notice and understand your inner and outer world, and being able to do that easily can really improve your mental health. So yeah, as we move from winter to spring, as we hopefully begin to see better weather and warmer days, we can all take some time while we are cleaning our physical spaces to also evaluate our mental health as the part of our spring cleaning practices. So hopefully the information that we've shared today has been helpful to you. Maybe it has made you look at things a little bit differently in terms of how you do them, or given you some tips on how to navigate procrastination, or given you some different ways to think about meditation, all those different kinds of things. And absolutely, if you are struggling with anything, coming out of the winter can be really hard, and finding the motivation to clean your space and do these kind of evaluation things can be really draining. So if you do need support, please do visit our website and find your nearest member center. They would be more than happy to listen and give you some resources in your area that might be able to provide you further support if you need it. But they're just happy to listen and give you some tips and be somebody to talk to. Like Caitlin said, sometimes just talking to someone can help, and they are always there. So please don't hesitate, yeah, to visit our website and find your nearest member center for that.
Wonderfully put, Caitlin. Thank you everyone for choosing to listen to our podcast today, and I hope you'll join us next week for another DCO Discourse podcast. Thank you.